Communist photos and mementos fill 87-year-old Gloria Friedman's small but comfortable Manhattan apartment. It's a world away from the unheated Lower East Side tenement where she was born in 1915 to desperately poor Jewish parents. It was a neighborhood and an era rife with anti-Semitism, crime, and hard work, when work could even be found.
The life was rough. Of course, to a young child, I didn't know that it was rough because I was a little feisty, fighting person. And I was always full of hope that something would be better, a better world, something better. Later on, a sister of mine got involved in a strike movement in which she met a lot of radical people. And she came back home very enthused and singing Wave the Scarlet Banner triumphantly for communism and liberty.
Ms. Friedman joined the Communist Party in 1935 when she was 20 years old. She was immediately put to work on Greenwich Village street corners, making speeches based on articles in the radical Daily Worker newspaper.
It was such a wonderful paper, how it fought for people and how it expressed how things could change. And I loved the paper and I loved talking about it. And that's why I felt so good about being a communist. I knew that I was on the right side, on the left side.
Ms. Friedman's friend, Estelle Katz, was inspired by the same ideals and joined the American Communist Party in 1937. It was one of the worst years of the Great Depression.
I didn't dream of the future so much as I envisioned a future where people would work together, where our interests would be in common, where we would not take advantage of each other. Greed would be something which would eventually die out because it was not inborn, as I argued with many psychiatrists over the years.
Ms. Katz says that a sense of community and shared purpose went hand in hand with political ideology in her communist group.
We had many, many members, and we had many discussions, classes, meetings, activities, giving out of leaflets. It was camaraderie. There was no anger. I mean, we were angry at the system, but that was an objective factor. Subjectively, we loved each other. And the result was that we could continue to fight and work to improve things here. And as we improved them, we would go on. Eventually, 200-300 years away would be communism. But socialism had to come first. And that was the thing that I really felt would replace this system, just as this system of capitalism had replaced feudalism. And feudalism had replaced the early slave days of the Romans and the Greeks.
20th century history, of course, took a different turn. Gloria Friedman said she was personally not surprised by the collapse of the Soviet Union.
I feel very bad about what happened in the Soviet Union, but I understood it. Because when I traveled in the Soviet Union many years ago, I saw that many people were not socialists, they weren't communists, they were ordinary people, and they were behaving in funny ways that they weren't acting like perfect people. Like something was stolen from our hotel room. So I said, well, socialism hasn't yet reached these people. They're still in the old ways.
Ms. Friedman remains a loyal communist and continues to be politically active.
Well, you see, I still feel good about what I do because I reach out to so many people who have so much distress. There are so many people who are so confused about what's going on in the world. They don't have hope. They feel very depressed. They think things are going to be bad forever, and I have to keep cheering them up because I told them, if you're fighting for a good cause and you're fighting for something better and things do improve a little, that's important. I once sang the International to a group of people who are not communists, and they were so thrilled. The earth shall rise on new foundations. Ye have been naught, ye shall be all. 'Tis the final conflict. Let each stand in their place. The international working class shall be the human race.
On May Day, this is Adam Phillips reporting for Main Street.